Zandvold Financial Group.
Hour two of your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. If you have not left the house yet, don't.
Just don't.
Stay indoors. It's awful out there. It's awful.
The last story that we had in Sam's top five before we get to Nick Zerwas at number five on our list here, talking about this, the scientists discovering this new species, and they had discovered like in a cave, right?
Yes.
There was a story a couple of weeks back. I don't know if you guys saw it, but there were Garfield, they were telephones. There were clocks. They were like clock telephone combos, and they kept showing up in this one particular region of the world on these beaches, and they couldn't figure out why. Like, why in the world do these Garfield toy telephone clocks keep showing up? And they finally tracked it down, like, miles and miles and miles away, like, on the other side of this body of water. A shipping container had gotten lodged in a sea cave where the water had come in and broken the doors open.
Oh, my
gosh. So every once in a while, the waves would come in and start swooping, scooping out all these Garfield clocks. Clock phones. They made this long extended journey. I don't know what this has to do with the new species of Homo genus, but I just thought that was funny.
You know, well, the waves did not carry away all those little toe bones, we were able to make this discovery.
All right, we do have Representative Nick Zerwas on the phone. Nick, hang on just a second. Let's knock out Sam's number five because I want to get Representative Zerwas's comments on it as well.
Number five.
A DHS hack potentially exposed the personal data of 11,000 Minnesotans.
That's a lot and bad.
Super bad.
Yeah.
From NPR. The email of a state employee was breached and used to send emails to coworkers asking for wire transfers. The breach exposed Minnesotans' last names, dates of birth, social security numbers, and treatment information. A statement from the department says there's no evidence that any personal information was viewed or misused in any way. The DHS has notified the legislative auditor and the FBI about the breach. An employee reported the suspicious activity at the time, which triggered an investigation by the state's top IT agency, Minute. DHS also hired a contractor to look into the breach, which completed its work last month. DHS Commissioner
Tony Lurie. So we had an investigation by Minute and an independent contractor.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to clarify that.
Yeah. The DHS Commissioner Tony Lurie said, partnering with Minute, we have been able to successfully defend against the vast majority of these cyber attacks targeting state government and will continue to pursue strategies to protect and defend against future cyber attacks. Mm. This is the third known breach that occurred in 2018. In January, the department notified lawmakers that a phishing scheme in September resulted in an employee clicking on a malicious link. Senator Michelle Benson from Ham Lake said the department needs to get its house in order.
And that is probably the understatement of the year.
Yeah.
Because the reason, and I'll bring Representative Zerwas on. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Well, good morning.
The reason we asked you to call in is, one, you can't join us on the roundtable tomorrow, so we're all very sad about that.
Yeah, I haven't been in for a while. I miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss your silky smooth sounds.
Obviously.
So we've got this story, another hack, right, in DHS potentially exposing the personal data of 11,000 people. But then we also had on top of that, you know, another legislative auditor report yesterday on the CCAP program, basically showing, you know, we already had the report that showed pervasive fraud. That was the word he used. And then this report shows that the program integrity controls at DHS are, quote, insufficient to effectively prevent, detect, and investigate fraud in Minnesota's child care assistance program. What's going on over at DHS?
Yeah, no, it's a five-alarm dumpster fire. There's no doubt about that. You know, I think with the data breach that Senator Benson spoke about and had a press conference on yesterday, I think the reality is it just shows another example where the Department of Human Services and Minute are not prepared to have this expanded technological and data-driven roles. They just are in no way trained and specialized and equipped to handle this. And another thing is, when they when they do find out about these breaches or about this impropriety, their first reaction isn't to tell the legislature, isn't to reach out and say, uh-oh, we have a problem. It's to hire private investigators and private contractors to begin what, quite frankly, can be declared the investigation to frame up the cover-up, which is also what we saw in the child care assistance program when the Department of Human Services' own unit that is charged with investigating daycare fraud told the higher-ups, we have a huge pervasive problem with fraud in this daycare system that could potentially be $100 million worth of fraud. The Department of Human Services didn't say, we should notify the legislature.
Right.
We should look in. We should stop this. Their first inclination was to hire a private firm to investigate the Department of Human Service fraud investigators to make sure that they aren't being too mean when they look into Somali daycare centers. And what was the governor's response? The governor's response in his budget, his response to these audits in his budget, was to order sensitivity training
right
for the fraud investigators. It's bananas over there.
What is the biggest fear do you think the Democrats have that's keeping them from holding holding hearings on the previous OLA report? I mean, what in your opinion do they stand to lose in all this? Is it just looking bad?
Well, I think they're apologists for the administration. They were apologists for the Dayton administration. They're certainly apologists for the Walz administration. And so anything that would make the department look bad, they don't want to showcase. Yeah. And plus, they truly, truly want to spend your money. And if they highlight that $100 million is going to people that just flat out don't qualify for the program, or to daycare centers that just flat out don't take care of any children, then it becomes harder to say, yes, we're spending hundreds of millions of dollars on that, but we also need billions more of your money.
You're right. I mean, it is absolutely 100% bananas. It's crazy. But the problem is that, you know, what are the consequences for DHS when it comes to this type of just egregious misuse and failure to be a decent steward of the money that they're giving? There are none. You know, I mean, and that's the problem, and that's the frustration that, you know, we have sitting back and looking at this and seeing story after story after story of absolute failures within the Department of Health and Human Services. When they know they're just going to get another budget next year, they know nobody's going to get fired over this, nobody's going to lose their jobs over this, and when there are no negative consequences to this type of misbehavior, whether it's intentional or not, or just, you know, out of ignorance or out of apathy, then why would they change? What can you guys in the legislature do? And I know, you know, you've got the minority in the House and there's not much you can do there, but what can, you know, if the legislature were so inclined, what could they do to mete out some appropriate consequences?
Yep. So I think the Senate Republicans are on the right track after reading through yesterday's audit report. That basically, I'll sum it up very quickly, basically what it says is the Department of Human Services doesn't even bother to check, doesn't even lift a finger to verify if the people applying for the child care public assistance would meet the base qualifications for that program. It has two components. There's an income component that you have to make less than a certain threshold of money. And the Department of Human Services, against federal advice and all recommendations, has willfully made a purposeful decision not to ever try to verify the income information in applicant reports.
Willfully not tried to verify, like intentionally,
yes,
not tried to verify.
As a policy.
Yes. And if you don't think that word gets out about that, and that people then start, you know, that may not have otherwise been inclined to try to cheat the system are now incentivized and motivated to try to cheat the system, you're just being incredibly naive.
Yep. And then the other major finding on the eligibility portion, the second component to qualifying for this daycare assistance is the person that's kind of on that that edge of the poverty line needs to also be employed, because the point of the program is for single moms or working moms or moms returning to the workforce that they get a job, but then they have child care assistance so that it's not a losing proposition for them to return to the workforce where they pay more in daycare expenses than they would in an employment salary.
Right.
They have decided willfully and intentionally in the Department of Human Services to never verify employment.
Oh, come on.
I mean, what do you say? And Nick, I know, I mean, you know, Drew's laughing and I'm sitting here, we're just kind of speechless, just kind of going, how do you begin to go and correct the problem, especially when you've got a party that is unwilling to even address that there essentially is a problem?
Yeah, yeah. And then on the provider side, gentlemen, it's worse. Because we have example after example where if they don't know, they damn well should know that they are paying child care providers but don't have any children showing up. And in one instance, well, an instance that we got the records for, they know damn well that this daycare center is licensed and approved for 30 children but are billing the state for reimbursement monthly for 100.
Well, Representative Zerwas, I hear what you're saying, and right. I understand why some people might be frustrated by this, but clearly those people just need to go to sensitivity training.
And that's the governor's recommendation.
Right.
Yeah, that's what Governor Walz has recommended. You've got daycare after daycare, and it's not just Somali-run daycares that are doing this. I mean, don't get me wrong here. This is not a behavior or a problem that is unique to any individual group. But you've got daycare after daycare after daycare center willingly, you know, defrauding the state, taking your tax dollars that you went out there and drove out on a day like today to go out and earn on these roads and this snow. They're taking that money, they are defrauding the state, they don't deserve it, they haven't earned it, it's not helping anybody, to the tune of over $100 million, and all the governor can think to do is ask people to go to sensitivity training.
Well, that's not the only thing. Remember, he's asking the investigators to go to sensitivity training and be nice, but the governor is doing one more thing that is very important part of the story, gentlemen. The governor is asking all Minnesotans to shell over billions of dollars more because he doesn't think there's enough money in state government. And so it's come to the point where I think you can just say they know there's rampant fraud, they know there's out-of-control waste, but they just don't care.
No, they don't care, and it's part of their agenda to not care. They can't. I mean, we shouldn't even be having. And I know these are all separate things. I know these are different entities, but it's all part of the same corrupt government that we're talking about, right? We shouldn't even be having conversations about tax increases. There shouldn't even be a whisper spoken about any type of universal health care or Medicare for or Medicaid for all. When you have this type of rampant abuse that you can't even get addressed, I mean, those are all non-starters, in my opinion. When you have a government that clearly cannot be trusted with your taxpayer dollars, can you even imagine if they give more of your money what they're going to end up doing with it?
Yeah, well, it's just page 15 of the legislative audit report that came out yesterday had a line in it, gentlemen, when I was reading it at my desk, my jaw just dropped. The legislative auditor lays out in black and white that against a 2016 federal rule, the Department of Human Services put in and received a waiver request from the federal government so that as a part of our enrollment process for the Child Care Assistance Program, the Department of Human Services asked for and received a waiver to not comply with the federal rule that said that states needed to ask, not double check, not even verify, but put on the form and ask that program applicants verify that they don't have $1 million in assets. Our department didn't want to comply with that rule because they don't even want to know. They don't even want to ask the question to accidentally find out that if the families that are getting federal or state and federal tax dollars for assistance are millionaires.
They don't want to know. They don't care.
I mean, ignorance really, is bliss.
Yeah, but they're not even ignorant.
Right.
That's the problem. They're aware. They're aware that all of these things are going on. They simply don't care. And then they have the gall to come at us with their hands out again saying, we need, what, $1.2 billion more to take from you? You know, as I hope everybody, as they're driving into work today on these roads and these conditions, understand that they're going to work to earn money that the Democrats and the DFL in this state feel like they need and that is more important that they have than you have than you're in your family budget. You're out there risking your neck in these awful driving conditions to go earn money so that, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars can be defrauded out of the state.
And they have no interest in stopping it.
They have the means to stop it.
That's the most disheartening part. And the one thing that I think is important is, as upsetting as this is and as outrageous as this is, nobody for a moment that's involved in state government and involved in this should be allowed to act surprised or shocked. This report is dang near identical, minus the program names and acronyms. This report is dang near identical from the 2015 report that said hundreds of millions of dollars in program eligibility, program dollars are going to people that aren't eligible. And it's identical to another audit in 2017 that said the Department of Human Services isn't doing enough to verify people that are getting public program dollars actually meet the base qualifications for the programs that they're enrolled in. So this problem is severe. It's persistent. It has existed the entire time I've been at the legislature. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows hundreds of millions of dollars are going to people that are in some cases dead, don't live in Minnesota, or make way more than they write down on a piece of paper. But everybody knows the state won't bother to check.
Yep. They have the knowledge, they have the means, they have the ability to put an end to this. They know it's going on and they can end it. They just simply don't care and don't want to because and you have to assume it's just because of politics. They feel like it would be politically damaging if they actually went out and cracked down on all this stuff. Nick Zarwas, we are out of time. Thank you so much for calling in. Miss you on the round table. Hopefully we have you back in here real soon.
See you, gentlemen.
Take care.
On hold, we will talk with a fan of the show, Don in Burnsville. He has a few comments on this.
Very curious to hear what he has to say.
Also, we have an immigration update on the way. We'll set the stage. A Border Patrol official has declared, a caravan-sized influx of migrants arriving every week in the Rio Grande Valley. We'll get to that also. Sort of coupled with that, we'll dive into Keith Ellison has an editorial in the Star Tribune this morning talking about how we're all better off if everybody is licensed and insured, regardless.
FM 103.5.
Drew.
John.
It was all gone. Sam, it was all gone.
It was all gone.
It was all gone. And now it's all over the place again.
It's taking over again.
The snow was all gone.
And now it's back.
Now it's everywhere again.
Yeah.
Twin Cities News Talk. Glad you're with us.
I don't know if I'm in denial or what, but I'm just not taking this storm seriously.
Sister, I'm right there with you.
Okay, you know what?
What, Sam?
I don't know who that is.
I know who it is.
You know, if we did this to him on something,
he'd be crying.
You know how upset
he would have tears
right
in his eyes.
Do you know how mad he'd be?
Yeah,
right
and he'd
now?
Have to take
annoyed,
6 days off.
And how annoyed
drive,
he'd be
just so that he could
if I,
try
you
to
know,
stop
if
crying.
We had a drop of him, and we just
I don't know if I'm in denial or what, but I'm just not taking the storm seriously.
You know, sister, I'm right there with you. You know, Drew, yeah. you like to go and make those correlations like Candace Owens. You know, if that had been
you're just taking yeah
black woman.
Yeah, you're just taking it out of context.
Yeah, you know.
Taking
yeah
what out of context? That was know, the whole point of the conversation yesterday was that I was taking the storm seriously and you guys weren't.
You guys, you're just playing a 5 second clip.
I don't know if I'm in denial or what, but I'm just not taking the storm seriously.
Sister, I'm right there with
you're
you.
You're just trying
you
to guys, act like that 5 second clip represents my entire day.
No, you guys are like
Candace owning you.
You guys are like DHS and the daycare fraud.
Mm-hmm.
You're just being willfully ignorant.
Here's the
you're willfully ignorant.
Here's the funny thing about that clip is that none of us like changed, and like despite what we said, because it was us. Let's be honest, we said those things.
I that speak for yourself.
Despite what we said, I watched you, Sam. I was looking right at you when I said that.
I have no idea what you're talking
despite
about. I don't
what
even
we
work
said
here.
And what Drew said, like none of us changed any of our plans in any way, shape, or form.
No,
based off of your level of seriousness nope and my lack of seriousness, we didn't do anything different.
Nope.
And
we're not
just
going to.
All just words.
Yeah, and in a week from now, most of what's
gone
right now is going to be gone again.
Yep.
All right, we had Representative Zerwas on in the last segment talking about the just rampant amount of fraud, waste, and abuse that is happening, and that DHS, you know, has knowledge of it, is aware of it, has the means to stop it, has willfully made the conscious decision not to stop it, and on top of that is turning around with their hand out saying we need even more money, even though over $100 million that we know of could right be a lot more has been defrauded out of the tax coffers of this state. If this is were the private sector and you know hundreds of millions of dollars of people would be going to jail.
Right.
Federal prosecutors would be more than happy to throw everybody in jail that they could even remotely charge with something like this. But when the DHS does it here in the state of Minnesota, you get a shrug of the shoulders and they're like, yeah, can we have some more money, please?
Yeah. DHS, Walls, and the DFL are essentially Sam and I yesterday.
I don't know if I'm in denial or what, but I'm just not taking the storm seriously.
Sister, I'm right there with that's you. That's what they are.
Very curious to hear the thoughts of one of our favorite callers and a huge, huge fan of the show, Don in Burnsville. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're wonderful, Don. How are you?
Okay. Both parties promised every election that they're going to do away with waste and fraud.
That's not true, Don.
And do you think that either of them ever do?
Don, first of all, the entire premise of what you're saying is untrue. Show me one example of a DFLer running for election in the past election cycle, claiming that they when they got in office that they were going to tamp down on waste, fraud, and abuse. We knew about this daycare fraud well before the election, and not a single one of them ran that they were going to do anything about it.
One specific area. Let me tell you about one of the biggest frauds that and waste that never gets dealt with, never gets talked about. And because it's a sacred cow, okay?
What is it?
I like cows.
I served in the military along with several of my friends, but the difference is that several of them that I know are get things like free hearing aids and other and disability, partial disability, and their hearing wasn't affected one iota by being in the military.
Okay, Don, I'm going to stop you here real quick. Hold on. That should be something that should be taken care of. Don, real quick, because we have other people calling in, I want to ask you a question. On the specific issue of the waste, fraud, and abuse within the child care assistance program in these daycare centers, do you personally think on this particular issue that something should be done to root out that waste, fraud, and abuse on this issue?
Yes, I do. However, let me say that it's a pittance compared to a lot of other areas.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You think $100 million is a pittance to the state of Minnesota?
Beg your pardon?
You think over $100 million is a pittance to the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, but the payments that go to farmers that don't deserve it.
I'm talking about the state of Minnesota, Don.
That, in Minnesota.
Oh my God!
He beats that by millions and millions of dollars.
Okay, is it fraudulent?
Well, yes, it's fraudulent.
So the farmers are defrauding the state. Is that what you're calling in to argue?
A lot of them are. Yes.
In what way, Don?
They collect money for land that they're not farming.
Okay. Well, you know what? If we can find examples of that, that should be rooted out too, and that should be ended as well.
I have to provide that information for you in a specific case of a relative of mine.
Please do.
Don, you can be concerned and outraged because we do it all the time on about different things at different times, and you can just go, "Yeah, man, that there's a lot of rampant fraud and abuse based off of this report that we just had Nick Zerwas on, and I agree with Nick that we should get into the bottom of it and fix it, and then just be done. You don't need to add, you don't need to tack other, but there's other things on. I don't know why you feel the need to do that.
It sounds like you don't care about this because things are going on.
Could I just summarize my point?
I don't know.
It's the fact that you people always attack some relatively insignificant fraud.
This is not insignificant.
When the big issue is all of the big frauds.
Oh, my God.
Don, this is not insignificant. And you know what, Don? When you I look forward to listening to your show where you can tackle all the big issues. That's okay. Cool.
Do you have a problem, Don? Does it bother you at all that they know, they are aware of over $100 million being defrauded in this CCAP program? They willfully have chosen not to do anything about it, and they have the gall to come at us and say they need a $1.2 billion tax increase. They want to collect over $1.2 billion in taxes more. Does that bother you just even a little bit?
What bothers me is...
Yes or no? Yes or no? Does that bother you?
Yes, it bothers me.
All right. Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear. Jeez.
Joe on hold. We will get to your phone call coming up. Use the hashtag TCNT. Give us a call. 651-989-58. CitiesNewsTalk.com.
In 1 hour, we're going to talk to James T. Harris. He's going to join us. That should be a lot of fun. Always fun conversations with him. You don't want to miss it. Stick around for that. Meanwhile, if you want to take part in the program, just give us a call. 651-989-5855 or #250 on your mobile device and just say TCNT.
I'll be honest. I mentally cut Don in Burnsville a little bit more slack, knowing how long he's been living on this rock. Because he's been around for a long time, right? Did we say he was 95? Is that what he said?
92 or something?
92? Is that what he was? It was up there. And I guess this is not a dig on him being older, but it is to say that he's been here a while, so I can understand how there'd be a level of being jaded in his eyes of all the problems having, you know, been here, you know, twice as long than the two of us. That being said, though, this idea, and you pointed it out, rightly so, this idea that, well, sure, there's this, but there's also this over here. It's like, no, you can handle all these issues. You can deal with all of these different issues. They can all be tackled. You know, just because we're focusing on one doesn't mean that we're just missing all the other rampant fraud and abuse happening and all the other, you know, ways that the government does. But
look, we know the government wastes money. And when he was talking about the farmers and things like that, that's not necessarily fraud. That's just government wasting money. You know, if there's a program in place that pays, you know, a person to do or not do a specific thing and a person is collecting the money and following those rules, that doesn't count as fraud. That counts as just a really wasteful, inefficient, unnecessary government program.
Right.
What's happening with the child care assistance is outright fraud. What's happening, and not just with child care assistance, with medical assistance, with a lot of other programs, as Nick Zerwas laid out, is the state of Minnesota is willfully not checking people's eligibility. And even when they find out that someone is ineligible, they are willfully not doing anything about it. That's what Zerwas laid out. That is fraud, and that is fraud that is being enabled by the complicity by the Department of Human Services. It's insane, and people should be outraged.
And I do agree with Don in this sense
there is a lot of other waste, fraud, and abuse, and we should tackle all those issues and deal with all those issues, especially here in Minnesota. The Minnesota legislature should definitely handle all those things, and until we go and address all those things, then we should stop talking about any types of tax increases.
Please.
Because I don't trust the government to go and spend my money, because clearly they can't be trusted, and they do not care. And it's ridiculous that people turn a blind eye to it. They absolutely go and turn a blind eye to it. But the government cannot be trusted with any more of our money, because they can't be trusted with the money they already take from us.
Got a few people that want to chime in on this. Let's get to your calls. Joe in Minneapolis, good morning. You're on with Justice and Drew.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm really glad that you continue to talk about this, because it's that important.
And thanks for holding on, too. We appreciate it.
Two things going on here. There's fraud, but then they can put any pretty euphemism on it that they want. Willfully not doing anything is really basically nothing more than a cover-up. And the governor has the audacity to respond with sensitivity training. Why doesn't he just call us all Islamophobes? That'll just be justice, and that'll solve the whole thing. This is obviously evidence of a banana republic. Excuse me. And does anyone beyond the state level care about this? What recourse do we have as taxpayers that are going to work in this snow today to continually pay for this fraud when we have an Attorney General, Keith Ellison, who apparently does not care? And I think the question why is a fair one, rather than telling us that we need sensitivity training.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, Governor Walz and a lot in the DFL, you know, they want to spin it back onto you. Like, if you're mad about this, clearly you're only mad because, you know, you've got some inherent racism or a problem. You know, you've got some sort of problem. So, you know, you just need to change your perspective and be more like us, because we just, you know, we don't care because we're more sensitive and we're more caring than you.
And we've been pointing this out quite a bit, and it needs to be pointed out in this situation as well. And that is the role that the local media, that the media here in Minnesota plays a part in this. And this goes back to, again, the difference when Obama was in office, how the media was more than happy to ignore a majority of the mainstream media was more than happy to ignore what many on the right were calling out that President Obama was doing. You know, things like kids in cages and stuff like that, right? which now just gets solely blamed on the Trump administration. And right now we're at a point where you don't have a media that really cares about this issue, because they're mostly in lockstep and just an extension of the DFL. You don't have a media going out there, and Joe made a good point in Keith Ellison. Why aren't they going out and asking our Attorney General? Why aren't you looking into this right now? We have an editorial in the Star Tribune that we'll get to later on in the show about how he believes we're all better off if drivers are licensed and insured, regardless of whether or not they're here in the country illegally or not. Well, I'm sorry, Keith Ellison. There are much bigger issues to go and deal with, including the millions of dollars that's being wasted in this fraud and abuse within our daycare system.
And you can tie this into the immigration issue. You know, what have we been saying on the show?
Right.
Like, regardless of how you feel about our immigration laws currently, it would be nice if they were just simply enforced.
Right.
Then we would know, you know, specifically what laws are working, what laws aren't, what laws could be changed, need to be changed, what laws are actually effective. It would be nice if, when it comes to eligibility for these types of programs, if the rules were simply enforced.
Right.
And if the rules are too lax or if they are too strict, then we'll know. Right now, we have no idea, because apparently there are no rules. You can just go and get a check from the government and not ever take care of a single kid.
Well, and that's similar when it comes to the driver's license debate as well, because we've stopped, you know, you have leadership inside of law enforcement, not the officers themselves, but the leadership up top that has spoken, not written mandates on how to deal with individuals that are here in the country illegally that don't have driver's licenses. So we don't even know. I mean, like, his whole editorial that we'll get into lays out a bunch of hypotheticals without any tangible stories of how the immigrant community that's here illegally is negatively impacted by not having driver's licenses. There's no examples, just his perception and assumptions being made. When we don't have laws being enforced, we don't know what kind of impact it's actually having.
Right. Let's go to Ellen calling from Shakopee. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be brief. This is a big can of worms I'm about to open up. The Department of Health and Human Services, in conjunction with rules in the state of Minnesota are also subjecting everybody who lives in Minnesota to an extremely dangerous level of fraud and abuse as well. And I'd just like to comment on that because it's another sacred cow. Minnesota has the ability and laws in place to be able to ignore felonies that are committed by people who are declared mentally challenged. There's a very obscure law on the books in Minnesota that is called Rule 20, which requires that people are reviewed by a judge and a psychiatrist and determined whether they're fit to stand trial or not. But once they get that ruling, anything, and I mean anything, that they do after that appears to be dismissed as, oh, well, this person's incapable of understanding it. This is a very personal issue to me because I have a situation where a mentally challenged neighbor shot a gun at my house in February and thankfully did not hurt anybody, but the police did their due diligence, for which I'm very thankful. And the whole thing went through the process up to Health and Human Services, and then it became an absolute secret what was going on. My family lives in a firing zone, and we have no idea whether we're safe or not.
Ellen, I'm going to stop you there for the issue of time. We do appreciate you calling in. We want to make sure that we stick to the topic at hand because we have a lot of callers on hold. Glad that you were able to get the authorities involved to go and deal with your specific situation, and we appreciate you listening this morning.
Yeah, it looks like the point of Rule 20 that she was referencing is for civil commitment of people that may not be able to stay in trial. So if that's not being followed, and it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't, that is yet another thing that needs to be addressed. Carlton in Rockford, good morning.
Good morning. Guys, I want to see if you could help me out with something here. I've been in Minnesota for about 6 years, and it seems like every day of those 6 years, the state of Minnesota figures out some new way to waste or squander away this enormous amount of tax money they take from me every year. And on top of that, I'm driving to work this morning, and it's in April, and it looks like I should be on an episode of Ice Road Truckers or something. And I'm just trying to come up with one reason why I should stay in this state. Can you help me with that?
Well, listen to us.
Mm-hmm. You can listen to us
anywhere.
The live and local coverage of Justice and Jury. I mean, you can listen to us anywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're in the state, then it's more impactful to you as a person hearing the stories we talk about.
And Carlton, you know, you're not alone in that frustration. I can't tell you how many, you know, I've lived here almost 10 years now, and I can't tell you how many friends I've had that have the means, you know, they're not necessarily tied to Minnesota because of their job or anything like that, that have had the means, either they're independently wealthy or they're self-employed or they own their own business, that have left and have cited those exact reasons for leaving because of the tax nature, because of the fraud, because of how frustrating it is, you know, to see just the state government not seem to care one bit, you know, how their decisions and their lack of decisions in some instances affect, you know, the average Minnesotan. And they've gone to, you know, more tax friendly states. There has been a massive exodus of wealth and of entrepreneurs and self-employed people in this state in the last 5 years. Center of the American Experiment covered it a couple years ago, if I remember correctly. So that is something that, you know, is going to have to be addressed at some point. Right now, the DFL, they don't seem to care, and they're the ones in charge. Carrie in Ham Lake, good morning.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. I don't know if you can help me out here, but every time Don calls in, I listen, and I end up sitting at, by the end of the call, mouth hanging wide open, trying to understand. And I'm not picking on him. It's almost any liberal or Democrat caller. And then I kind of macro vision this out. What Don just said, it bothers him that this happens, but yet he will always go back to the well and vote for these people. And he will run cover for them, Minlars, whatever. I've heard his other calls. It's this delusion without any accountability. My wife works for a major healthcare company here in town. She is surrounded by liberals and Democrats and Bernie stickers in the parking ramp, all this stuff. And those candidates that they support, that they love, are literally trying to completely wipe out their entire industry that they work for. And there's a disconnect. I don't understand how people have so little introspection into what the issues are, how it affects them, and what's the difference between that DFL voter and a Republican voter? I don't get it. It's weird.
I think in Don's case, and again, I'm making some big assumptions here, and thanks for the call, Carrie, because I sympathize with your lack of understanding. You know, Don to me is representative of when we talk a lot about your celebrities. You know, the reality is what happens within the federal government, what happens in the state government doesn't really have a big impact on an individual like Don anymore. Given his age and how he's living his life currently, it doesn't have the impact that it has on the average individual. Now, that isn't to say the average individual who's on the left doesn't also feel the way Don does. I just mean, in Don's case, it's very easy for Don to go and say, yeah, I care about it, but I also care about these other things. They should do stuff about that as well. The feelings play a heck of a lot larger role in his world than actual tangible things, impacts, taxes, and things of that nature. And I think a lot of people on the left, they do sort of just blindly go along with, well, those people are trying. We're the good guys, and those are the bad guys. And I hate to be so black and white about it, but that's what it is. We're the good guys. They're the bad guys. And whatever the good guys are doing on our side, it really doesn't matter because the bad guys are evil and horrible and wrong.
Yeah, the frustrating thing is that the politics trumps everything.
Right.
You know, politics trumps doing what's right. Politics trumps, you know, taking good care of tax dollars. Politics trumps rooting out waste, fraud, and abuse. And in my opinion, the reason why DHS has been so willing to turn a blind eye to this is because they fear it would be politically damaging. They don't want to lose control. The DFL has had a stranglehold of power on power in this state for a very long time. And they don't want to lose it. And if they come out and they're like, look, you know, we've been defrauded of all this money. We're going to do our best to try to crack down on it. Here's the situation. We understand, you know, the people responsible have been fired and we're going to hire better people and we're going to hold ourselves accountable. But, oh no, that could give Republicans something to run on.
Right.
And that to them is more important than hundreds of millions of dollars being wasted.
651-989-5855. Right around 8:35 this morning, our fellow iHeart radio show host, friend of the show, James T. Harris, is going to be joining us. Katie Pavlich won't be able to make it on today, so we ended up grabbing James T. instead. So again, he'll be talking with us right around 8:35 this morning.
Senator Jim Abler is on the line. He has called in. We will take his calls, plus everyone else that's on hold. Stay on hold. We will get to